Good morning. If you turn to page 898 in your pew Bibles in the Old Testament, we'll be reading from Ezekiel 37 this morning, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of God.
In this season of Advent, we sing, and we've already even heard it sung this morning, O come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. I often hear people saying that that is one of their favorite Christmas songs. And perhaps it's because it moves beyond holly jolly Christmas and wrestles with some of the deeper, darker themes of our lives and maybe things that we're even wrestling through in what's supposed to be this shiny, bright Yuletide season. Our hope here at First Baptist Church is that week after week you can bring your whole selves to worship. Your joyful selves, your sad selves, your mourning or your dancing selves. That this might be a place of refuge, a place of welcome. That even when you're swirling in between joy and sorrow, that this is a place where you're welcome. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. For the past several weeks, we've been preaching through the prophets section of the God story, and we're in the third act of the God story. We've been moving through this God story since September. This third big act is called Israel, and in this part of the God story, we've hit a place in the story where the human or the made by human hands kingdom of men and women has reached an all-time low. Long gone are the glory days of King David and King Solomon, the royals. The glory days of the temple have been squandered by God's people chasing after idols. Money, power. God has warned the people of their consequences of their sins. Judgment looms. The promise of God creating a people who would bless all the nations is once again in jeopardy. In fact, God's people who once had place and temple, sacred space to worship the one true God, don't even have a place or temple to worship in anymore. They've been kicked out of their country. They've been taken as prisoners of war in a foreign land. No king, no temple, no land. Perhaps the people of Israel wondered, well, maybe the gods of Marduk, these idols of gold and made by human hands, are actually more powerful than our one God, Yahweh. And it's into this futureless existence that Ezekiel appears. He's this priest who comes from an upper-class family. His family and his people got deported to Babylon in the first waves of prisoners to go to Babylon. As Tana said a couple of weeks ago, when you're going to annihilate and oppress a people, you take the cream of the crop first so that then you can overcome the weakened ones left behind. So Ezekiel's a part of that first group. He is sent to exile in Babylon in 597 BCE. And then he's called to this vocation of prophet. He suffers his own personal struggles in Babylon. His wife dies, and he's told by God as an example to Israel not to mourn her loss, because Israel will not be pitied as well. And then for 10 years, all God wants Ezekiel to do is prophesy doom, doom, doom on the people of God. And at different points, God would pull Ezekiel aside and give him a pep talk, where he'd say things like, don't be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns surround you and you live among scorpions. Don't be afraid of their words. And don't be dismayed at their looks. They're a rebellious house. Now get back to work, Ezekiel. And then for 33 chapters, we read doom, doom, gloom, destruction prophesied upon Israel for their wicked ways. And once these 10 years of prophetic browbeating are done, Ezekiel gets this word of the complete demise of the temple in Jerusalem. The Babylonians have totally scorched Jerusalem, and all of God's people have been eradicated from the area. So this is the world where God's crushed people exist in exile. And perhaps this is what gives rise to the lament psalms of the Bible, where lamenters cry out, let the groans of the prisoners come to you. According to your great power, preserve those doomed to die. And perhaps this is part of the God story where this minor key hymn of Advent, O come, Emmanuel, is birthed. Ransom captive Israel, mourning in lonely exile here. And I'm not sure how that would play on your psyche if you were like Ezekiel, 10 years of preaching doom and gloom, but this is a pretty crusty, cranky prophet. And just when you think he's going to be the mouthpiece for more desolation, more doom, more, you're only getting what you deserved, we're once again surprised by the God of the God story. God does not wait for repentance from his people. God does not press his knees into the back of Israel and wait for them to cry, Uncle! Instead, God presses into God's promises. At the end of chapter 36, we read, they shall know that I am the Lord. So imagine this. In the waning hours of a cool evening in Babylon, the hand of the Lord comes upon Ezekiel and whisks him away. This out-of-body experience where Ezekiel's transported in a vision to a valley full of bones. I imagine this week. What if you were staring outside your front living room window and suddenly the Spirit of the Lord whisks you to Commonwealth Field, the end zone of the Edmonton Eskimos turf. God saying, mortal, can this football team live? I digress. So Ezekiel, whisked away, out of body experience, this dry valley full of 10,000 crinkly, crunchy corpses. And perhaps he walks along this sun-bleached boneyard, and perhaps even some of these bones crunch under his feet as God pulls him aside and says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he sheepishly answers, Lord, you know, don't you? Prophesy to these bones, Ezekiel. Gulp. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Mortal, prophesy. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you will come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And there's sounds, noises, rattlings. The bones came together right before Ezekiel's eyes, bones to bones, sinews forming, muscles emerging, skin stretching over them, but there was no breath in them. Prophesy to the breath, Ezekiel. Gasp. God the Master says, come from the four winds. Come, breath. Breathe on these slain bodies. Breathe on them the breath of life. And suddenly from the heavens there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. The breath of God, hunched, entered over these hunched over bodies. They stood on their feet like a massive army. Ezekiel, these bones are the people, Israel. They cry out, our bones are dried out, our hope is lost, we are clean cut off. They weep and lament, how can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? Prophesy to Israel, Ezekiel. What shall I say? Tell them that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob declares, I am going to dig up your graves and bring you out alive, O my people. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. When I dig up graves and bring you out as my people, you will realize that I am God. I will breathe my life into you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. I'm going to dig up your graves and bring you out alive. I invite you to let these promises sink into your own bones this morning. These are the promises given to us when we cry out, when we sing out, O come, Emmanuel. Ransom me, ransom us. In this community of faith, we humbly attempt to proclaim the good news of a God who digs up graves, who brings dead things to life. And perhaps it's easy for you this morning to get to that grave place. Perhaps it's easy for you to imagine your place of deadness, your place of dislocation, your place where you feel like God has forsaken you. And we all have these places. The good news of Advent, the good news of the God story today, is that God promises to arrive anew in our midst. Hear the word of the Lord. Whether we've ended up in a dead place or a dead end or a dead relationship because of ourselves or in spite of ourselves, the good news is that God comes anew. And God's not waiting for us to repent enough or say that we're sorry enough. The preacher Fleming Rutledge puts it this way. God does not raise Israel from the dead because they have repented. God raises them from the dust because he is their God. God's promises are unconditional. In essence, it's God's reputation that's on the line. And God is in the business of raising the dead. Is this mic working? Am I going to have to preach that 20-minute sermon all over again? God, spare us. The cries from the people. I'll read that Fleming Rutledge quote again. God does not raise Israel from the dead because they have repented. God raises them from the dust because he is their God. God's promises are unconditional. And so in the season, O come, Emmanuel, is to be more than a song for us. It's to be this plea to God for God to be who God promised to be. And maybe we do it with hands outstretched, or maybe we do it with a fist in the air because we're so frustrated, but we say, God, show up. Be who you are. Be who you promised to be. Be the digger of the graves. Raise me up. Raise us up from these dead places. And these ridiculous resurrection promises are echoed in our gospel reading today, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then Jesus says this pointed question, do you believe this? Mortals, sons, daughters of God, we who are the hearers of the word today, do we believe this? May the Holy Spirit, may the fresh wind of the Spirit even today empower us so that we might not be sheepish. We might say to our neighbors, near and afar, that we might say to the people and the places that we're called to this week, that yes, there is a God of resurrection, a God who we know lives and moves and digs up graves and brings dead things back to life. And thus we stand alongside the Ezekiels and the Marthas of the God story. We go out on a limb and we say, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who comes into the world. And we wait and we watch and we pray and we sing, O come. Lord Jesus, Maranatha, come. Lord Jesus, come.